say, you got to ask me. I won't volunteer myself to come to a pulpit. But if you ask me, the Lord will allow me to say yes, I definitely will. And I'm so grateful to be here with my family and for those on my Facebook family and other mediums. It's really an honor to be here and a privilege. And whenever the Lord asks me to speak his word, I have to settle myself down to say, Lord, tell me what you want me to say. I'm not a preacher. God has given me the gift of teaching, and I teach. And when I was asked to present for Mother's Day, I was getting ready to go out of town for vacation. That's a fun vacation, knowing you've got to speak the next week. And immediately, he gave me what you're getting ready to hear. And when I first, I heard it in my spirit, I said, oh, really? For Mother's Day? And the teaching of mothers gain through pain and loss. Now, we always hear, and I've gotten 14 or 20 text messages before I woke up, everybody saying, Happy Mother's Day. You've got all these gifts out there, so everybody's got all these beautiful things flashing. But I wanted to start out by saying to all the nurturers, because as Pastor Watts has shared, there are people who have never had a baby formed in their womb. They're not able to conceive. There are women who are teachers and men who are teachers or people on the bus or social workers or people that are neighbors that refuse to ignore what they see some child is lacking. Those are nurturers. And I want to say to them, Happy Mother's Day. Thank you for loving children that may not have come out of your womb, but you're still appreciated, aunties. And those women that think they're not enough. You are enough because you have loved. And I just wanted to appreciate you from the bottom of my heart and all the mothers. Because my children, I have two daughters. And I can tell you, there's a lot of women in here and out there who have mothered my children. And because of those loving women, my children are the better for it. So praise be to God to all you women who have mothered other children. Praise God. Now, my title is coming from the perspective of the mother of Jesus. And as Pastor Watts has said, a lot of things about Mary. You know, the only times we hear about Mary, she's a virgin. Christmas time, she gets a big billing because, you know, no room at the inn. We see her as a mom with a baby. But I want to back that story up a little bit because there are some opportunities about Mary, the mother, the chosen mother, that we just gloss over. Mm-hmm. And one of the ones that I want to talk about when it comes to pain and loss is that how many of you all who've had children know that you don't just be on a donkey and all of a sudden no room at the inn and there's a baby there? What happened to the childbirth? That hurts. But maybe we think because Christ Jesus was without sin that somehow Mary popped that baby out and it was just all good. Give me some water. Give me a piece of candy. Oh, we got gifts? No. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, because you got to ask this question, what happened in the childbearing? would think after reading that real quick, after you leave the delivery room, the pain is over. My first point to you to share is that in mothering, there's pain. It doesn't end at the delivery room. It doesn't end at postpartum. When they send you home, that's just the beginning of a life that you're going to be bringing forth your child and your children. But God is letting us know from the very beginning in Genesis, there's some pain involved. And you gotta wonder why all these wonderful children of ours are giving us flowers. Hey, you're on the NFL, and hey, mama. NBA, hey, mama. Candies, dinners. You know they know that we deserve every bit of that, right? Because they have taken us through some things. And some of those things haven't been happy to glad moments. They've been painful moments. But we're going to look at this from Mary's point of view, because everybody touts her as the greatest mother. And you got to remember something. Mary was not without sin. We prop her up very high, and that's fine, because she was the mother of Christ. But she was also, like all of us, she was born into sin, shaped into iniquity. She had to be saved. So the gain I'm talking about is the gain of her son, Jesus Christ, to be her Savior. Yes, he was her son. Yes, she carried him. God, in his Holy Spirit, overshadowed her womb, and she didn't have to have sex with Joseph. Don't let any of your kids or grandkids pull that up. It only happened once. But her body was overshadowed, and she became the mother of Christ without the normal means. But like Pastor Watch was saying, she had other kids. And sometimes you start to hear people making up all kinds of stories about Mary, and they always want to make her so super spiritual, but she was a woman just like the rest of us. She went through childbirth, she had a baby, and after you had the baby, she didn't have 17 nannies, y'all. She had to take care of the baby. The baby had to be fed. We don't know. But back then, they probably would have nursed. That wasn't a great process for any of us. We know. But here we're going to talk about a part of this story that God gave me when I got immediately told that I was going to speak. He brought me in my remembrance to when Jesus, the Son of God, at 12 years old, a boy before he hit teenage and puberty, he got lost. And a lot of times we read that story, but I'm going to break that story down before I read the scripture so y'all can actually understand what a mama goes through if a child is lost. Because some of us, maybe we've lost a kid for 15 minutes, maybe an hour. But this mama lost her son for 3 days. Days, y'all. They didn't have Amber Alerts. They didn't have 911. They didn't have, can you help me find her? Let's hit a loudspeaker. They were in one part of the country, and she couldn't find her son for 3 days. Now, if y'all get upset, now, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes when you get upset, you can't eat, you can't sleep, you can't think. You are freaking out. And if you lose your 12-year-old boy, you don't know, has somebody taken him? Has he been kidnapped? Is he lost? Is he dead? All those things that go through a mind of a mother, because we can go and we can freak out pretty good. And we got all levels of freak out. And I'm sure when she was going and traveling, coming from the festival, she was happy. All mamas have a moment where we can just be ourselves. You know, she's just married. And she's going with her friends and family. But all of a sudden she's looking. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? She asked cousin number one, you seen Jesus? Cousin number two, friend number three, have y'all seen Jesus? I thought he was with. Where's Jesus? Then she had to go talk to Joe. Joseph, you know, nobody calls everybody Joseph. They had to go talk to Joe. Joe, where's Jesus? I don't know. I thought he was with you. I thought he was with y'all. They realized that they had lost their son. And they have to turn back. Now, when y'all hear that, everybody thinks, hey, lost Jesus. They didn't just lose their 12-year-old boy. They lost the Son of God. I mean, y'all understand what that means? The whole privilege of being the women back then is that you were hoping to be the person to carry the Messiah. But then you get 12 years in and you lose him. That ain't a good feeling. And we have to say, scriptures, to walk in another person's shoes. And this mama's shoes, she only had that little bit of time to relax and feel herself and just be there. And that 1 second of, lost my kid. I lost my son. At 12, he's not grown. At 12, he don't know everything. Where is he? So let's go to Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. And as you see this, I want you to understand, the first point was there's pain in motherhood. The second point is you don't want to go home without Jesus. You don't want to go home without Jesus. So in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind. He made a choice. Your kids are going to make choices that don't make no sense to you, but it's going to cause you some issues. Some gray hairs being formed. Every piece of wisdom in our hair, you know we've earned. But in this case, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. In some translations it says he lingered, but all the times it says he made the choice. But they were unaware of it, like some of us as parents are unaware of what our children are deciding to do and to not do. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day. A whole day, they didn't think about Jesus. He's grown. He's grown enough that I don't have to watch him every moment. But a whole day without checking in, hey, you had lunch? Hey, you got enough water? Hey, they didn't do that for one day. And because of that, they didn't know he was not there. And as a mama, there are times where these younger adults start to grow, when you kind of say, I'm going to ease back. Because as mothers, we are commanders, managers, dictators. We do everything. We're thinking for them before they can think. We're thinking 10 steps ahead. But there's sometimes you just want to ease back. Because we don't told them enough times, brush your teeth. We don't told them enough times, tuck yourself in and put your belt in and get this and wear your seat, but we've told them enough that you think sometimes you don't have to tell them. But the one time that you ease back, you're unaware that your own kid is not on the voyage, that's not on the trip with family and friends. And then you're going to say, what did I do? How did I let this happen? So here they say, then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, this is when mamas freak out from the level 1 to level 5, and you already level 1,000 because you thought you could find him, you thought, it's going to be all right. But then after they didn't find him, oh no. Something about our motherhood, bringing forth the children in pain, as the Lord said, is something in our DNA. The men don't have it the same way. I'm not saying anything critical to you men, but there's something about us having children and that protective gene. And when they're in harm's way and we don't know what's happening with our children, there's pain. There's concern. There's, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do if something's happened. All that worry starts to come. And you're going to say, worry? But doesn't God say in Matthew 6, don't worry? Well, baby boy is not in my possession. I don't know what's happened to him. So they say, and when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, everybody just rushes over that 3 days. After 3 days? I know she didn't eat. You don't have to write Pastor Watts that she didn't eat, she didn't sleep, she couldn't think of anything but looking for him, finding him. What are we doing? Have we talked to this person? Have we gone over there? Have you checked here? You know how we're racing because we got to find him every day. One day is enough. Second day enough. 3 days? After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts. Now here I want y'all to have appreciation of something. kids, even Jesus at 12, who is deity and human, he made the decision to stay behind. When they find him in the temple courts, they're going to talk about how everybody around him was astonished, the teachers, the scribes, the people, because of his wisdom, his intellect, and the questions. But when they see him, they're amazed, because any kid that's lost, if you ever come and see the movies, oh God, mommy, I missed you, I'm crying, I'm so upset. Jesus don't have no reaction like that. And then you're going to see the question he says back to him, and I'm going to give some liberties of my voice, because I think when you start to read Mary, you think of her as Mary Poppins, instead of a mama Mary, who's just had 3 days of no sleep and no eating and freaking out and being anxious and worried about her son. And when she sees her son and he doesn't give the reaction that she expects, I don't want y'all to say, hi, honey. That y'all know, no mama in here would ever do that. So I'm going to give a little bit of artistic license here. So here, after 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. Even though dad is still alive right now, who's the first person to start talking? Joseph is alive and there. He's supposed to be the head of the household. Man's supposed to be the head of the household. But who's the first person that starts talking to the son that's been missing for 3 days? His mother said to him, son, I'm gonna give you the look, Charles, because I want you to understand the son. Son, why have you treated us like this? It wasn't, hi, son, buddy, none of that. Mama is upset. She's happy to see him, glad to see him, relieved to see him. But there's a question. Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Because for 3 days, that's all they did. Looking every place they could find for this 12-year-old boy. Yes, he's the son of God, but he's 12. He's still growing. He's still learning. Even though he's coming into his full understanding of the role that his father wants him to do, they're still his parents. She's still in her mama role. And maybe y'all think you know everything about how to be the mama of Jesus Christ, but she didn't, and I'm sure we wouldn't. So losing him is a big deal. Losing him is a big effect on her whole mental and her whole being a mother. She is her only, not the only child, but her oldest child. You don't know if the other ones had come yet, because they said brothers and sisters. So she had a whole bunch. This is her oldest, and she lost him. Now look at what happens and transpires in this interaction between Jesus. He's the one that started this. Now, she says, your father and I have been anxiously searching for you, but look at what Christ says back to her in verse 49. Why were you searching for me? Why were you searching for me? Y'all have made him so spiritual. He is without sin. We know that. But he asked a question in his own 12-year-old deity-filled human mind. Why are you searching for me? But imagine the mama hearing that back. Why am I searching for you? You've been gone at 12 years old for three days. Why am I searching for you is what Christ responds back in a question to his mama. No, I'm sorry, mama. I didn't mean to make you worry. None of that, because that's how we as humans would think our sons would act. But he's in deity and humanity at the same time. He's focused now on, I'm getting ready to go into my ministry. He's 12, but he's still got to get to 33. But now things are happening where he's starting to talk about his father's business, his father's truth. And he's trying to educate people in that temple courts. And he had been there for that time period at that festival. And he was hearing and seeing people talk about the Passover. But he didn't just hear because he knew it. That eternity of who he was and who he is was starting to ignite as he talked. So he stayed behind because he wanted them to understand. But his parents were not understanding. Y'all are really comfortable here because y'all know your kids are there. You you know, your kids are here. But she didn't have her kid for 3 days. And his response right now is, why were you searching for me? He asked, didn't you know? You know, I'm glad it wasn't Albany and Faith. Because I don't know if I would have been as calm, cool, and collected as Mary had to have been. Because she had to keep it in mind, this is God's son. Yes, he's my son. But if I've been 3 days, no sleep, and worried, sick, and Faith said, why did we search it for me? Then you know I'd be my father's business. And if you're going to see in a second, they didn't understand what he was talking about. So even though y'all put these mom and daddy so spiritual, they were a little upset. They asked him a question, why'd you do it? And his response is, and we always say, oh, I had to be about my father's business. We always remember that scripture. This was a tough time for a 12-year-old boy to take himself outside of the family and go start the work of Christ and the ministry of Christ. And he says, didn't you know I had to be in my father's house and other translations in my father's business? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured it in her heart. What do you think she had been thinking as a mama? Why did he do this? How could he do this? What was the point of this? How does he know so much? He's talking to the teachers in the temple, and they're amazed at him, and he doesn't have any concern that he put us through this. All this stuff had to be going through her mind, because you know we mamas, we got to be thinking, what just happened? You know he didn't get a beating. You know he didn't, because he talked about his father's business. If we had had that situation, we, you know, I know there's people, Dr. Spock, over all those things. I'm not trying about beating no kids. I'm not talking about, but I'm just saying, there was been some discipline. But they just talked about he left to go to Nazareth and was obedient to them. But here's something I want you to see. And Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. I share with you that you want to make sure that Jesus goes home with you. But there's some mamas here, whether you got grown folks or you got little folks. The three things that every mama wants to have with their children is for them to grow in wisdom, in stature, and be in favor with God and man. But here's the thing. When your kids aren't wise, they have no common sense. When your kids aren't growing in stature, they're stunted in their development. They are sick, dying, or died. Or you find that your children, who you've birthed in your life, are not in favor with God because they don't care about God. They don't want to know God. They don't care about his favor. They don't want to care about him. And they're not in favor with man. And you find them in jail cells, in prisons, in gangs. Because nobody really is in favor with them because they don't know God and they can't live with you, they can't live with man, and they're stunted in their development and they're just totally unwise. That's why you have a lot of mamas in pain and suffering because they feel their children have lost. Not just physically lost, emotionally lost, spiritually lost, mentally lost, civilly lost. We keep talking about all these men and women in the prison system, there are mamas attached to them. Daddies attached to them. That's hurtful because you didn't birth them to be in a prison cell. You didn't birth them to be in a gang. You didn't birth them to go and be addicted to crack or to what drug or what alcohol. You didn't birth them for that. And where God says it's going to be pain in childbearing, it's unbearable pain to see them fail, to see them struggle, to see them lost. But you can't appreciate Mary right now because Jesus was found and he was all right. But there's a lot of mamas that are struggling because their kids aren't all right. Let's go to another couple of scriptures because Mary and Jesus' relationship has to transition. He was her physical, son, and she was his physical mother. But ultimately, she is going to be one of his creations that he has to save because she is a sinner like you and I. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, to include Mother, who happens to be the mother of Jesus. So there's a couple of passages that we're going to have to read so that you can know that it was a transition. And it wasn't an easy transition for Mary because she's used to being mama. But she's going to have to change to woman. All of us who are females are women. And he's got to show her that I used to call you mama, mother, but now I need to start calling you woman because I want you to see that my role is changing. You did birth me. And there's a love because Christ loves all of us. But he has to have her understand, just like you, as older moms, have to understand that you're not the dictator and the commander and the manager. You have to transition to be the advisor. Those children can be managed. These children are being advised. And that's a hard transition for us parents to understand. But it's a reality that Jesus had to understand and tell Mary, we're changing. So in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding when the wine was gone. So those of you that say you can't drink, now we don't want people to get out and become alcoholics and don't want to entice people to do what's wrong, but let's not get legalistic and say that everybody doing any kind of drinking, you're just so on the way to hell. Christ's first miracle wouldn't be turning water into wine if it was something sinful. But I digress. I just wanted mothers to understand when they get of age and they have some responsibility and common sense and wisdom, don't be saying that they can't if it's legal and they're being responsible. That's a free public service announcement. It says here, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Verse 4, woman, why do you involve me? Other translation says, why is your concern on me? Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. Mary didn't do a lot of rat-a-tap-tap-tap-tap. What you talking about? What you call me, woman? She didn't do none of that. She said in verse 5, his mother said to the servants, not to Jesus, to the servants, do whatever he tells you. She knew her son enough that even though she made the request and he questioned her, that she had some understanding of her son that he was going to do something. And you read the rest of the story, the water and the wine happens. But she could not demand anything of him at that point in his life and his ministry. She wanted to, she tried to, but she had to back off. And I don't say that in an unloving manner, mothers, but sometimes you got to back off and let Jesus be Jesus. And let the prayers that you put on your altar for your sons and daughters, let the Savior do it because you're not the Savior. You've been the mommy, but now it's time for you to let Jesus be the Father. And let him do some of the work that you've been trying to do. Take your hand off of it. Now, some of y'all have more than one kid. I got to talk to you mamas who have multiple children because all of the children are different. They may look alike, they have the same nose and they have the same features and all, they're so beautiful and handsome and all that stuff, but they're different. They think differently, they may not know the same as the other. Some are happy, some are glad, some are moody, some are all kinds of people in our family DNA with these kids. Jesus had brothers and sisters. He was the older brother. But even in that, Mary had to understand that all of her kids weren't going to support Jesus. And you find in the scripture that we're going to see now in Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 to about 32 or 37. We'll see where we're going to go. The brothers saw Jesus' ministry, but they thought he was a little flaky. They probably was a little crazy, a little cray cray. And no offense to anybody in mental health, I apologize. But the reality is, they didn't think he was full deck. And they convinced Mama, who already knew that she had had a baby without a man, she'd already seen that he started to do miracles. She'd already seen some things happening with him doing healings. But the kids, her boys, because Joseph is dead by now and she's a widow, so she's getting leadership from different sources of her family. And it happens in every household. You tend, as a mother, to listen to the one that you kind of have a little bit of a relationship with, a little different than the other. And all of the boys got into their mama's head, we need to go find Jesus, and we need to stop him. And be careful when you try to stop Jesus and his progress. You don't want to forget to take him home. You don't want to forget that there's pain in mothering. But don't ever try to stop Jesus in his ministry. And they could be your kids and say, Mama, why are you going to church? You don't need to go to church. You know your leg hurts. Why do you need to go to church? Stay here. Watch it on TV. Why do you need to give tithes and offerings? They don't need your money. You don't need to listen to what God says. Why do you, people in your family, your children that you love, be careful that they don't try to tell you, we need to stop Jesus and his ministry. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 46, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, he's talking about ministry. He's talking about his father. His mother and brothers stood outside. They weren't inside where they should have been. And some of your kids need to be inside the house of prayer, house of God, instead of being outside trying to pull you outside so you can't hear about Christ. But in this case, her sons have convinced Mary, who should know better, let's go get Jesus. We need to talk to him. We need to stop his progress. Stop him talking about whatever he's talking about. It says, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. He replied to him, the person who was talking to him. And here's the thing, the transition has happened. Can you imagine Mama and brothers on the outside and they're going to get this word back? Who is my mother? And who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here is my mother and my brothers. The folks on the outside are waiting for him to come out and they're going to get the message. He said, who are you? He just said to people in here, his mother, brother, who are you? And you got to understand what Mama and them, he said, what? Jesus said, what? Who are my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to the disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother, my brother and sister and mother. We are his family. We believe in his father's business. We believe in his father's truth. We're his family. Even though biologically, they're connected. And some of you have people in your lives that are your sons and daughters, and you will say, I had these kids. They don't know Jesus. They don't care about Jesus. And you got people that are in the house of worship that love you and take care of you and pray for you and cover you better than your own flesh. And you have no understanding of what's that about. Jesus is letting you know the family that's eternal is the family that believes in his Father, that believes in the truth of his word. And sometimes, I've said it many times, we're spending a lot of time trying to save folks that spit in our face and have wanting nothing to do with Christ. You got to put them on God's altar and let the Lord and the Holy Spirit deal with them. And you go talk to the other brothers and sisters that God is putting in your path. That's hard, Mama. That's hard because you birthed them kids. But if they don't have a thing or interest in God, that's going to be on them and God. That's not on your parenting. You've told them the truth. That they reject the truth, that's not for you to be agonizing over. The pain and the loss of that child that refuses God is not your fault. Tell them the truth of God's word. Pray for them, lift them up to God, and let the Holy Spirit work. If they refuse God, that is not your fault. Stop beating yourself up on the damnation that they are embracing. God says, choose this day, life or death. And he gives you the answer, choose life. But there's a lot of people who are going to choose death. That gate is wide. Satan is busy. And maybe your prayers will snatch them back. But don't kill yourself, faulting yourself on something that is their choice. Their choice. The last scripture that we're going to go is the one that God showed me after he talked about the loss of Jesus. And it was at the crucifixion. And Reverend Watts, I was getting ready to laugh. I said he had all the mothering scriptures. She's going to be, my whole teaching was going to be done by Sunday school. Finished. In John chapter 19, verse 16, we'll start. We've seen the torture of Jesus Christ. But again, we're not walking as a mother of Mary. There are women in this room and under the sound of my voice who have sat in ICU rooms and NICU rooms in hospice. And they've seen their children die. I've heard from the young children to the older children, the pain, it doesn't go away. I'm a widow, and I know it's hard to remember back on suffering. Mary is seeing her son in his early 30s. Before he gets to the cross, he's been tortured. Before he gets to the cross, they have beat him. And he's bleeding. And they've mocked him and spat on him. And they put clothes. If you've ever been bleeding, you put something on blood and you pull it off and rip the wound open again. So he's exhausted. He's been tortured. He's been spat upon. And he's done nothing to deserve it other than to love us. People that would be willing to do that to him. And as he's walking, they put this cross on him, and he can barely walk as it is, to the point that they have to have Simon of Cyrene take the cross because Jesus is just too exhausted and he has no strength. He's been losing blood. He's been losing fluids. They're not getting any kind of hydration. He is totally being tortured. Then he gets to the cross. And we always say the nail-scarred hands, but these are not nails that you hammer something easy at Home Depot. These are the giant nails that have to go through our cartilage. And going through cartilage to go to a piece of wood and adhering to hold up a body. A body, a man's body is probably not going to be less than 100 pounds. So a body that's going to be over 100 pounds wood and bones, and that's gross. But it's worse than gross because it's her son. It's not a stranger's son. It's her son. And when she sees him, I want you to jump down. I was going to start at verse 16, but for this time, let's go down to verse 25 of John 19. It says, near the cross. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. The last point I want you all to understand that when you're going through pain and suffering, in emotional turmoil, whatever's going on in your life, you need to be near the cross of Christ. You need to be at his feet. Because everybody can promise they're going to be there to help, but the only one that's going to be there constantly, never leaving you, never forsaking you, is Christ Jesus. And even Mary was not missing at the cross of Christ. Her sons were, that had all that mouth. They don't talk about her daughters. They talk about her sister Mary of Clopas. They talk about Mary Magdalene. And they talk about John, the beloved disciple, being there. But where are the brothers? Where are the sisters? This is their older brother on a cross being crucified. They're thinking more of themselves. But they're not there. But Mary is. It says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister Mary, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother, even though he knew she was a creation, she was his mother. In the pain and agony, and I don't know if you all realize it was hard to breathe on the cross. That they had to lift themselves up, which takes muscle. We just did something in watching the American Ninja Warrior, and all of the heaving up of a body strength to get up, to pop up, to move. He had to do that on a cross where his feet and ankles were criss crisscross in the blood of it and use the last bit of strength to be able to talk. The internal organs and all the stuff that was happening, that took strength that he barely had. It says here, when he saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, he still had to show her, we're in a different transition. Woman, here's your son. I know you're looking at me as your son and you're hurting, and the pain I see is because you see me as your son. But I'm about to give you a gain that a son can't give you. I'm going to give you the gain of salvation. So here's your son. And to the disciple, here's your mother. What was mine is now yours. Here is your mother. And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. So on Mother's Day that we are always celebrating, and it is a great time to celebrate, I just wanted to make sure that all of you that are going through something because of your children, those that are in your body or those of you or their auntie or whatever your role and responsibilities are for people that you love who are going through, this pain is not unusual. The pain that you're suffering because of what they are not, what they are doing, what they're putting you through, God said it from the beginning. In pain, you will multiply because of that sin. In pain, you're going to be going through some things, bringing forth these children. And all of these children aren't going to find themselves in heaven. And that's hard to hear, mamas. But don't kill yourself over children that don't want to be wise, don't want to know or have the favor of God. Because when you don't want the favor of God, there is no good result. And I see the pain on your faces. But you got to understand something about God. He got on the cross for you. He got on the cross for them. What you have to do in the wisdom of your life is to recognize that you need to be at his feet, that you stay close to him. What they end up doing, you pray. You pray and let that go. But don't let them drag you down the sewer of that existence that Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan knew that if he could get the kids, he can get the mamas. He can get the daddies. Because y'all gonna try to be savior and you can't be. Only Christ on the cross. He's the game. He's the game, mamas. So in your pain and the loss that you are feeling, I want you to look to the game of Jesus Christ. Look to what he's giving to you every day. You're never gonna be alone. You're not gonna go anywhere that he's not there. He's not gonna know. Be unknown of anything that y'all went through at 3 o'clock in the morning, at 4 o'clock in the morning, when they did this, when they did this, I can't believe they did that. All that stuff that y'all are going through, he knows it. And he said, I'm your game. Even in your pain and your loss, I'm your game. And I just thank you all, Resurrection, for having myself and allowing me to come and to share on your Mother's Day, some good news. There's hope in Christ. Hope and trust Christ. So I don't know if, I know we have communion, but if there's anyone that would like to have prayer for you as being a mother that's going through, if the pastor will allow, we can have a prayer together. Because, you know, we're two or three gathered, he's in our midst. And the prayers of the righteous avail much. And we have to start praying. This is a warfare. And the great warfare that we have is that we go to God. The Father has been given us the greatest access because Christ is there on the right hand. Just praying. Praying for us. Praying for you. He said, come on, pray. He's like, no, I got something to do. I got to go worry. He said, be anxious for nothing. But in prayer. But you got to believe your prayers, because if you get up from praying and you're saying freaked out mama, you're not believing your prayers. So we'll cut off the thing and we'll pray.